Bob and Grace, and we have two children, two boys, who are in high school. And I guess my role is I currently I'm a vice president with a technology services company. And in my story begins perhaps where most stories begin in terms of when I was young. I grew up in a household that didn't have a very strong Christian background. In fact, my father, who had remarried, actually married a woman much younger than he, and the two of them actually had been involved quite a bit in wife swappers type activities, both of which had extramarital affairs. I think as I grew older, like a lot of kids, I was exposed to pornography. I ended up attending a boys' school when I was younger, and had access at one time, or had gotten access, I guess, to that through some other kids, and gradually just became aware of the existence of that type of material. And I think what I found early on is, pornography, and which really began sort of the extent into masturbation, was for me, I think it almost became a relationship, a sense of a desire and a longing for something which was ultimately fulfilled by being able to get access to pornography and participate in masturbation. And I think as I grew up, that really started to become, a very different part of my life. I became, somewhat active in a lot of different things, in a lot of sports when I was younger, and involved in some student government, and, just involved in things that, a person who was actively involved in pornography or masturbation wasn't, it wasn't an outward sign of who they were. And so I think what I'd done is I developed the ability to really create just a separate side of who I was. And the Bob that people knew was not the one that was really on that darker side. When I met my wife, I think I'd always believed that the activity that I was involved in at that time, which was really just starting become something that I was interested in. It for me at that time, it wasn't something that that overpowered me or something that constantly had my attention. It was more of a recreational place to go. And when I got involved in a relationship with my wife, I really believed that was something that was going to be the past. That's something that all kids or all boys had done. That it was just a phase that you had gone through. So I always assumed that, my sexual relationship would be fully fulfilled through my spouse. There was always a side that thought back to the relationship that my father had with his wife, and that there was always an option that I could choose to do something, different if that was something that had ever presented itself. So actually only a number of years into our marriage, perhaps two and a half years into our marriage, I had become involved in a relationship with my wife's best friend, and it was something that started off as just sort of deviant behavior and nothing that ever turned into an emotional attachment. It was more a relationship of convenience, an opportunity to reach out and to perhaps be satisfied in a way which I felt I needed, at that particular time. And it was the kind of relationship that it was on and it was off again, and it would, for a couple years, it was something that I'd walk away from for a period of time because the relationship with my wife had become close. And then other periods of time when I felt there was some distance perhaps in our relationship, I, for some reason, I found myself reaching out for some type of deviant activity or deviant behavior that was totally separate from our relationship. Later, when the internet became a part of our culture, I was amazed at how easy it was to get access to pornography, and I think that's the point at which I'd recognize sort of the consuming nature of it, where it could actually, it's something that you could just sort of, with the initial intention of just to glance or look at something, but then get to a point where it all of a sudden just sort of consumes you for a period of time, because it was something that was just readily available and easy to access. I think once I started into that type of behavior, it really launched into something which reached out to me more, to the extent that I was allowing myself to take more chances and get deeper and deeper into this kind of behavior. It started to escalate into, first of all, just phone calls out to my wife's best friend while I was on business travel and participating in phone sex, which happened, you know, while I was traveling. I think masturbation was almost something that was part of almost all the time that I was traveling for a while. Started accessing in-room movies and hotels while I was out on business travel, and gradually just allowed myself to become more and more drawn into this type of behavior. And to the extent that I had engaged with a number of prostitutes while I was on business travel as well, and had, you know, allowed myself to sort of reach to that level and risking, you know, everything, my job, risking certainly sexually transmitted diseases in my family, and wasn't necessarily thinking at all through that particular process. And also at that time, and I think through a lot of this time, alcohol was a big part also of something which allowed me to sort of reduce my inhibitions. And certainly while I was on business travel, in the evenings when I was finished with work, I would consume alcohol, and then it would just sort of work itself out into a pattern of either making a phone call or looking at something in in-room movies, or considering calling a prostitute. It's something that sort of gradually allowed itself to just consume my thinking. You just sort of, I would become entranced by walking deeper and deeper into that path. That had gone on for, you know, nearly 18 years of our marriage, on and off with the affairs with my wife's best friend, on and off with pornography. There were periods of times which my wife and I were involved in a number of different Christian activities in terms of groups. I mean, I taught Sunday school. I was in a men's group. Really, from all outward, you know, appearances, you know, I was sort of your traditional, God-fearing, middle-income, middle-class type citizen who really just sort of put on the kind of persona that everybody would have expected of someone who was, you know, in the kind of role that I was in. You know, a vice president at a decent company, making a relatively good income, but there was really a secret side to who I allowed myself to become as a result of sort of this addictive nature that I had allowed myself to, or I allowed myself, I guess, to take part in. It wasn't until about 2 years ago, July 10th, as we were returning from dropping our kids off at camp, that my wife had approached me about some text messages which were on a cell phone bill that you know, appeared to be sent at some really odd hours in the evening while I was traveling.
But the whole trigger of the cell phone bill was the fact that I was going through and doing the bill for, because we got reimbursed for his company, and it was my best friend's cell phone number, but I did not know it at the time. I thought it was a guy, because it was from our old our old area code. I thought it was a guy that Bob used to work with that he was calling for some kind of business consultation because he would do that occasionally, and I didn't know the guy's cell phone number. I just knew where he worked. I was not at the time suspecting anything whatsoever. We were driving back from taking our kids to camp, and I just happened to remember I had been going through the cell phone bill, and while we were driving, I said, oh, by the way, I was going through this, came up with this number. I was wondering if that was, you know, this guy that you worked with, were you calling him for something about business so I can put it on the business expense? And it was at that point that he said, no, that is your best friend's number. And it was not one that I had ever seen before. And I was like, why were you talking to her? And all of a sudden, things started feeling really, really weird. But up until then, I had not suspected anything.
And I think as the information started to come out, you know, my first desire was to really to limit the amount of information. I certainly let her know that I had sent some text messages to her friend and that they were inappropriate in nature. But that was the extent that I really wanted to go in the beginning, because I really thought that if I could just control the release of this information, that I could somehow sort of control it and just smooth it all over. But as this process began to work its way out, and it took a number of months of me hiding and of me really trying to suppress the right information, it took me some time to begin to release that there had actually been an affair and there had actually been sexual relations with this person, and that it had gone on for, you know, nearly 18 years of our marriage. And so it was very difficult, I think, certainly, you know, for me to admit that who I had become had really been an incredibly devastating person, because the reaction was, I guess, as you would imagine, incredible, the incredible betrayal. Grace never would have imagined that the things that were going on were in fact going on. And so to begin to, you know, share this kind of information was incredibly devastating at that time. And it was very difficult for all of us, because it looked as though that was the end. And looking back, I guess, thinking of the relationship that my father had, you know, I thought very well it could be over, because certainly every person that Grace thought I was wasn't true. I mean, there was very little that was true, but the major aspects of who she thought I was and what I meant to her were really all a lie. So after working through a lot of that denial, we had initially worked with another counselor, and this counselor brought us together and gave us the opportunity to actually provide an environment where I could share some information with Grace in regards to what was going on as I was releasing more and more information. But still, I hadn't been able to release everything. I think if we happened to continue with that counselor, I probably never would have released everything that I had to share. It wasn't until we had an opportunity to be exposed to Rick Reynolds did we have the opportunity to really come to the full realization that sharing all of this was ultimately what we had to go through. And it took a period of time for me to really come to terms with, I think, the person that I had become. And I really had difficulty admitting, you know, everything that had happened over the past couple of years. But I think as I actually, Rick began to expose me to a number of different books and a number of different things in his teaching, which helped me be able to put an identity on what this was, and that it was, in fact, a sexual addiction, and it had a pattern. And as I became more and more exposed to the tendencies of those that found themselves in this kind of situation, I became to really identify with what it was that that had happened to me. And it was really, I think, at that time that I became very aware that I was absolutely powerless on my own to control what had happened, because many times throughout the years, I had, you know, prayed to God, just take this away. Just take this away from me so that I can just be clean and free and just lift it. I have this burden lifted from me that was just weighing me down. And it wasn't until I came to the realization that God really wasn't interested in just my addiction. He really wasn't just going to take that away. I found that God was really interested in just having all of me. He needed me to recognize I can't control this anymore, and I needed to turn absolutely everything about me and what was going on in my life over to Him. And I came to the realization that there was just no way that I could drive anymore. I was certainly not responsible. I was certainly not accountable. I was certainly not capable of controlling the things that were going on in my life. Everything that I had touched, I had recklessly damaged, and I certainly couldn't be trusted with anything. It was really at this time that I just sort of allowed God to just take everything of me and what was going on at that time. I think the one of the most amazing things through this entire process was to be able to experience the love that my wife had for me through this process, the fact that she could forgive the person that I was, and gradually work towards being able to reach out and accept me for who I was, because I certainly couldn't accept who I was, and I knew that she can only do it really through the love of God. So the incredible experience for me was to experience the love of Christ through my wife, and to have that exposure to just that immense love that she had for me through that was really an incredible opportunity for me to come to terms with what I had done, and to come to terms with the acceptance that God had for me. So the process for healing for me is I got certainly involved in the recovery groups that Rick had with the couples group. There we met an incredible group of couples who were fearless in stepping in to deal with the challenges that they were all dealing with. And it was really their courage which allowed me to see that I could do this, and God could do this through me, and there was hope for all that I had done, and there was no guarantees from Grace at that time that she was going to be around, but there was a guarantee that Christ was going to walk through this, and I could see that beginning to play out in the other couples who were a part of that group with us. Some struggled in their own ways, which were somewhat different than ours, but then in some ways they all struggled in a deeply emotional and powerful way to work their way back in a relationship with one another. And that was an incredibly enriching experience for me, to be able to recognize that this can happen. We can be restored if we open up and allow God to just take control and to drive this in the direction that He wants it to go. He can restore this and bring us completely back together. And we knew that it wasn't something that was going to happen overnight. And the amount of time that it's taken has been some time. But certainly the amount of time that I was involved in my addiction was a heck of a lot longer. And we've come a heck of a lot further in this amount of time than it took for my addiction to drag us away. So God's done some incredible things in a relatively short period of time for us. You know, even though it's something that we do know we're going to need to continue to work on, we're going to continue to need to turn over to Him, because it's something that is now a part of our life. It's a reality and it's a fact, and we can't hide it and bury it. And the group setting, which Rick provided, was an incredible opportunity for me to begin to experience sharing the most incredible, deepest, darkest things that I had done with a group of people that I never, ever imagined that I would have the capability of doing. But that process was an incredibly rewarding one in that it allowed me to begin to speak about what I had done. It allowed me to begin to speak about the pain that I had caused. It allowed me to come to terms with the fact that others have done this as well, and others are working their way out of it, and that there was some hope. Rick also exposed me to some other men's groups, which I've had a chance to become a part of. And over the past 2 years that I've been involved with that group, I've had an opportunity to teach, I've had an opportunity to share my experience, had an opportunity to lead another group of guys through this challenging period in their life, had a chance to sponsor some guys, had an opportunity every day to listen to guys who struggle and to be someone that God can use as a way to help restore lives, restore marriages, and perhaps most importantly, restore some hope. So that's my story. It's not one that's completely finished. It's not one that I'm sure is very unique, but it's one that that's flavored, I think, with God's grace, and it's one that has helped me understand, you know, who I am and what my relationship is to God and to my wife, and hopefully I can continue to rise from it in the way in which He intends.
Our story is not just about the struggles and challenges that Bob faced. It was the struggles and challenges about who we were and how we found each other. Basically, I mean, we were both people that grew up in dysfunctional homes. My home actually had the foreground of being a Christian family, but and they played the role very well. We went to church every Sunday and everything, and I grew up knowing my Lord and Savior as a God who was not only loving and forgiving, but also judgmental. And, you know, I had a lot of different concepts about who God was. And so we, coming into our relationship, I was not strong in my faith. And I was looking for Bob to be my, to be everything for me. And I was kind of it was the cliche of looking for love in all the wrong places, and that was me, and that's how I entered into that relationship. Certainly not in the strongest point of my relationship with Christ. So when we were young in our relationship, I saw things. I kept telling myself that there were problems within our relationship, that there were, that he was paying attention to other people. Certainly not my best friend. I never suspected that. But there was a part of me that saw a change in his eyes. That was a big part of it. And I think any woman who has gone through this knows what I mean about the change in eyes, and even though I wasn't sure, I was in a place where I did not want to. I was not going to be hurt first, basically. So, in the first 2 years of our marriage, I had a very brief affair with a guy that I worked with, and Bob did not know about the affair. It was just for a couple of months, and and I felt really badly about it, and I was the one that ended it, and I just really felt like our relationship was going to fall apart if I kept the secret. So I shared with him in a setting that we were really coming closer through a Christian couples group, and we had some other people around that were helping us to get through it. And at that point, Bob was involved in extramarital behavior and getting involved with his addiction, but he did not say anything to me. So I was carrying a lot of guilt for a lot of years, where Bob was saying that that I was responsible for a lot of things, basically, that was in our marriage, a lot of hurt and everything, and I was working very hard at making our marriage work, and I thought he was also. This was about 5 years into our marriage, and then we had really no other run-ins with that. We became very actively involved in that couple's ministry, and Bob was living a double life that I absolutely did not suspect. After we had been married for 11 years, I discovered that Bob was having an internet affair. He promised me that it was a one-time thing. It was something where I discovered that he was chatting online with someone, and then it ended up being exchanging of telephone numbers. He was staying after work and talking to her. He had told her that he loved her. It had gotten to be quite an affair. However, at the time, he believed, or he was telling me, that what I had done was, you know, supposedly worse, because actually physically been with this person. So there was quite a contention that we were dealing with at this time, and I really felt betrayed. It did not matter whether they had touched one another or not. I felt that it was just as much of an affair as what I had been involved in, and it was hurtful that he was not able to accept nor deal with his responsibility in that. But at that point, he said, you know, it was over, and there was nothing else that was going to be happening. I had no idea that there were so many other things that were happening at the same time. I chose to believe him, and we did not get help. So we continued to grow closer together. We continued to build what I thought was a major foundation within our marriage. I became a part of a Bible study that was very in-depth, to the point where I was doing study every day, and then I became, and I was attending weekly, and then I became part of a leadership role, and I was growing spiritually, and then he joined the same Bible study in a men's group, and he was growing spiritually. Where this hit us after we had been married for 20 years, it was truly a shock, because I thought we had such a wonderful relationship, but Bob had so expertly become a separate person when he was not around me, that there was no way anybody knew what was happening. He hid it from Bible study leaders, people, our closest friends, that no one knew that this separate person existed. So I know there's so many times when women feel responsible for not being able to see. And that's so much of what I did to myself when I first found out that I had not, how stupid was I, that I did not see my best friend having a sexual relationship with my husband. And she continued to be my best friend, my absolute closest friend. It was so hurtful because the two people who were my soulmates, really, were deceiving me in a way that is the most intimate way you can deceive someone. So I lost it at the same moment, the two people who meant the most to me in the world. And it was very crushing, and I blamed myself. But as we have come back and we've learned a lot about it, I understand that it was not me. There are still little demons in my head that say that I had something to do with it. In fact, one of the most ridiculous things that I continue to struggle with is Bob and I have been very sexually active, and that has been a very strong part of our relationship. At no time was there not a lot of sexual activity but with each other. And we were very creative. We were very experimental, not with other people by any means. And the biggest lie was I started to believe that I had created this in him, that we had sex so often that I had created this addiction in him. There's so many lies that go through your head. But in the last 20 months since I found out, we have received a lot of help through the marriage groups, through Rick and Leslie and the people at Crossroads Counseling. And we truly have a much more intimate relationship now than what we ever did when I thought that we had been growing. Now Christ truly is the center of our relationship, where before I was placing Bob as the person that had to meet all of my needs, and I was not looking to God to meet my needs. So I have learned to be able to place God first and look at Bob as my husband and truly lover, friend, but not my God. And that was a part of our relationship that I really needed to grow in. For Bob, he needed to know that he was loved unconditionally. At no point had he ever understood what love was. He never really knew what honesty was. He never really knew what it means to allow someone to truly become intimate to the very core of his being. And he didn't know what it meant to be loved to the very core of his being because he never shared the core of his being with anyone before. And now he knows what it's like to be truly loved regardless of what's in there. He knows that he can be forgiven. So these revelations have really brought us through the last 20 months. We're nowhere near being at the point that we're going to be someday, I know, in our relationship. But we are certainly on the road and in the process. My friend, I don't speak to anymore. She also is an ill person who had no desire to be with Bob so much as wanting to be me. And basically the last time she and I spoke, she tried to explain how she always wanted to be me. And then we haven't had any further communication. So I don't know if she's getting help or not. But that betrayal from her, especially the fact that it happened in our home when I was in the other room. There are places in our home I can't go. or I couldn't go. I'm beginning to work my way back into that. There are memories in things that my kids used to call her aunt. She was closer than my sister, so they have gifts and things that were given to us from her that are triggers of what I thought were wonderful, wonderful times that I've had to go back and completely rewrite the history of our first 20 years together. In fact, it was exactly 3 weeks before our 20th anniversary that Bob revealed everything to me. And we spent our 20th anniversary together, and I'm really glad that we did, because although I could not decide at that time, in that hurt, in that horribly, horribly painful time, whether I was going to stay or go, we did, for the sake of our children, basically physically stayed within the same home, and Bob moved up to our guest bedroom and was up before the kids were up, was to bed after the kids were to bed, so they didn't realize everything that was going on. And just the fact that there were moments when I needed to let him know the anger that I felt, the hurt that I felt, and he was there so that I could express that, helped us to get through it. And also those times when I needed to be held by him, he was still there, that he could hold me. And so I'm glad that the choices that we made at that point within the hurt were the ones that we made, because once God was telling me to stay with Bob and to forgive him and that he would give me the strength to get through this, it was not a process of trying to bring him back into my life. He never actually left. And it was a matter of daily living on the strength of Christ and the Spirit giving me the strength to get out of bed every single day and get rest when our kids were around. And if I had to spend the rest of the day in bed because it was too painful to move, I did. And I could, because Bob took care of the house and the things that needed to be done, allowing me to work through the pain and come to a point where I could get up and I could actually make the bed, knowing I wasn't going to crawl back into it later in the day. And then the next step of being able to let him hold me. And each little step along the way, I was able to make as God took me there and gave me the strength to be able to do it. And now, I don't thank God that we went through this, but I thank God that he has given me the strength to get through it, so that if we did have to do it, we can come to a point where we can help others who are experiencing the same kind of pain know that it is possible to get through, but you have to take it moment by moment, day by day. And not even try to think of a month or a year ahead without just knowing that God's going to be there with you. And I think the other thing in my recovery that has helped a lot is to be talking to other women and understand my pain and understand the confusion and the embarrassment and the struggle through betrayal. And also knowing that there are other women who are there on the other end of the phone when I need to just pick up the phone and say, it's really a bad day. Because this is different than cancer or car accident or all those things that can happen within your life, where your church will rally around and give you meals and help you through. Because this is a secret. This is so much of a secret. And so many times there's nobody there. And you need to have somebody that you can turn to, somebody that will understand, and somebody that will just listen as you cry and experience that pain.